Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
And we're all here today.
The band is back together.
Let's take a roll call. Andy Mazur?
Present.
Dave Schwann?
Present.
Jess?
She can't hear you.
No, she is here. I'm speaking on her behalf. She is here today.
Jack Hammer?
Here.
All right. Gang's all here.
We're all together.
Gang's all here. Apparently, we caused a seismic shift in the universe.
Something happened.
By Schwanny and I not being here last week.
I wasn't good enough to be on my own.
I actually had more emails about that than me giving Deadpool a bad review. Which was sizable, by the way. Somebody, Jack Hammer, or producer Jack Hammer, as he is now known, tells me that somebody thought I was dead.
Okay.
That's what it felt like. Where's Dean? He'll be back next week. Is he okay?
Dead. He's dead.
He's fine.
Passed away. Gave Deadpool a bad review and got killed. Somebody murdered him. People take their movie reviews seriously around here.
Very seriously.
Well, Schwanny was on vacation. We'll talk about that and show slides later on.
Nice.
And I was in Hollywood, California, doing some interviews and stuff.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Good old stuff.
Yeah.
Are you at liberty to talk about who you talked with or what about?
Yes.
Sometimes there's an embargo on that.
Oh, look at you with the fancy talk. Look at you with the inside showbiz talk.
A little lingo action.
I interviewed the cast of the new movie Jackpot, which includes actress Awkwafina. Great actress, and John Cena, WWE legend, and I think a really, really funny actor. In fact, we're going to hear that interview coming up a little later on this morning, and also director Paul Feig, and in a different movie, actor James McAvoy, great actor, this it's a real spooky movie that's coming out, and the cast of his movie, who I don't remember their names right now. He's the biggest
star. You're a real good reporter.
He's the biggest star in the movie. You want me to just make up some names?
Go ahead. Sure.
Movie McMovington and Popcorn McPopcornington. They were both great.
Movie McMovington.
Yeah, there weren't a huge star.
That should be your nickname now.
Movie McMovington?
Yeah.
So we did that, and we've got a whole bunch of interviews still to come. You know, the movie season is about to kick off, the major part of the movie season, although this Deadpool movie, as stupid as I think it is, a lot of people are going to see it. It's making huge tons of money, so, you know, God bless them. It's a nice summer popcorn movie. Escape, you know. What did you think of it, Schwanny, when you went to see it?
I haven't seen it.
Have you gone to see any of the Marvel movies ever?
No.
Okay, then. So please address your hate mail to Dave Schwann this week. When you hear this music, don't you sit up a little higher, walk a little prouder? It makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like when Schwanny hears the song Sugar Sugar by the Archies. It's the same kind of response. La, 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 la. I have been enjoying watching the Olympics. How about that Simone Biles?
She's pretty talented.
I think she's got a pretty good future as an athlete.
What have we checked to make sure that she's not a robot? That she's not some kind of AI creation? Good Lord, she's amazing.
Yep.
And the U.S. men's gymnastics team.
That was a great story.
Holy smokes.
A little local flavor, Paul Judah, the kid from Deerfield.
Yeah. It's been fun. I don't sit and, like, you know, watch it. But I watch all the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And listen for Andy Mazur's concisive reports on it.
Yeah, that everybody yells at me for because I'm spoiling things for people that I wanted to watch it
tonight. Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Don't tell me anything. I don't want to know anything, right?
Okay, don't do your job. Just make sure, you know, I get to watch what I want to watch.
Well, you warn people that it's coming up.
Right? I don't warn anybody anymore because here's my philosophy on the whole thing.
Oh.
Not that you really asked, but you know that little thing you have in your back pocket? It's called a phone?
Flask?
No. Well, that too. but your phone, you cannot avoid
results. I get like 100 bulletins a day.
I mean. You can't avoid it. So why? It's, you know, 15, 20 years ago, okay, yeah, I did do that. I did spoiler alert. I said, okay, if you don't want to know what's going on here, and then I would say the thing, and then hopefully people would come back. But, you know, now it's, you know, I was telling John Williams the other day because he was getting on me for it. And I said, okay, so let's say the Cubs are playing at 1:20 today and you can't watch the game because you're at work and you know that Marquis is replaying the game at 7. Do I have to wait till that replay is over to be able to tell you?
Yeah, that's, it's not, well, I mean, maybe for some people.
I get it.
It's the surprise of the conclusion, I guess.
It's true. I mean,
but as you say, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
How do you not know what it is? Don't you just want to watch it to see the beautiful athleticism?
Yeah, I would think. I mean, look, I report on this stuff, and I still go home and watch it.
Yeah.
I still wanted to see what Simone Biles did.
I'm not even a big sports fan, as I've said a million times, but I hear Simone Biles had an amazing day. I'm going to tune in or find it someplace.
Yeah.
More often than not, I'm not looking at it on TV. It's very interesting because, you know, Shawnee, we in the younger generation, we do everything on our phones now.
Yes, we do.
I just got a new touch-tone phone.
Did you? Princess?
Yeah. It lights up. The numbers light up.
That's
it's
nice.
Really neat.
That's nice.
Yeah. He gets his exercise carrying his Zach Morris phone around as well.
Brick phone.
That brick phone,
that
yes.
Brick phone.
Deep, doot, deep, doot, deep, doot, doot.
I had one of those. I thought I was the coolest guy on earth walking around with this gigantic thing.
The big antenna sticking out from the top of it.
You go to a restaurant, it takes up half the table. You have to get a separate table just for the phone.
You got to get a second one on the other side to balance the table.
Yeah. But I hear that she did well or that somebody did well or that something happened, that then I'm going to tune in.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not intentionally trying to ruin people's viewing habits, but I got a job to do.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're also getting hate mail, too.
I got a job to do.
Yeah. What do you get hate mail for, Shawnee?
What do I get hate mail for?
Probably hanging out with us.
No. You know, misreading a weather forecast or something like that, or why did you not include? I remember some time ago when we were doing sports on a different format here on Sunday mornings, you know, pretty much doing sports reports and scores by myself. And I failed to report a score of a Notre Dame game one year. And I got an email saying, is there perhaps some bias here that you do not? Well, I simply didn't have time to read the score. Yeah, there was no bias whatsoever.
Right. Occasionally, you know, there'll be something like a street blocked or something.
Yeah.
And then I'll get 5 hate mails for you. Saying, why didn't Shawnee report, blah, blah, blah.
Well, thank you for being my defensive.
Buffer. Yeah, I'm the buffer.
Nice.
You know, yeah.
I respond for you also, saying, why don't you throw that phone out the window and leave me alone? I'm doing my job. Leave me alone. The responses that we would like to send.
Can you read any of those mails that you got concerning the Deadpool? Or no?
Of me not liking the
movie?
I don't know if I can pull them up quickly enough. But, I mean, there was, you know, people saying, I thought it was hilarious. That's great. I'm glad you thought it was hilarious. I don't think my opinion is the end-all opinion on this. My review is just one person's review.
Yeah, I remember Roy Leonard once saying, a review is an opinion.
It's just somebody's,
pretty much it. That's it right
opinion.
There.
You can like it. I'm glad if you liked it better than I did. I'm glad if you went in and spent all that money and came out feeling good about it. I am tired of the superhero movies. That's part of it. I don't think Deadpool is particularly funny. That's just me. I'm glad if you think he's funny. Good for you. And somebody goes, your review, the movie is making money like crazy. Your review is wrong. Just because a movie's making a lot of money doesn't make it a good movie. Just means that a lot of people are going to see it. Because if that were the case, fast food restaurants would be the best restaurants in the world, because those are the ones that make the most money.
Right.
Has nothing to do with it. But, you know, it's like that. It's just people who disagree. You know, we live, I don't know if you've noticed, we live in a world now where you can't have a different opinion from somebody without getting trashed by them.
Or worse.
Yeah. That's true.
No, I mean it.
We live in a world where there's no such thing as polite disagreement anymore. If you disagree with me about a movie or politics or, you know, whatever it is, then somebody's going to insult your mother. And I've actually had death threats.
Ugh.
Death threats. Because people didn't like my
reviews. Now, I wasn't going to go there, but you really have had them?
Oh, numerous over the years.
Wow.
Of people who just simply did not like my review. It's like, really? Really? And I think, I'm glad Roy retired when he did, that he never had to put up with this. And I wonder how...
Well, I imagine he heard things at one time or
not,
another.
Not,
but not like this.
Not like now when people have instant access.
I was going to say, it's immediate now.
And I wonder how Roger Ebert or Gene Siskel, you know, they didn't live in a world of, you know, instant, and it's fine. I don't care if anybody disagrees with me. I hope you have your own opinion. I hope you make up your own mind. When I give you my review, I tell you what the movie is about without spoiling it, and I give you my opinion, whether I think it works or not. You don't have to agree with me. My opinion's not the end-all be-all. And you know what? Either is yours. It's just one opinion.
Yep.
So there. Well, so get off our backs.
Our show should
in other words.
Our show should be a model. I mean, we always respect each other's opinions on this program.
That's right. There's nothing but love between 9 and 1.
Absolutely.
On this frequency.
Well, we'll start off on the right foot. It's 9:21, 21 minutes after 9 o'clock. Good morning, Dean.
Why don't you stick that?
Good morning, Andy.
Oh, good morning. Deep breath.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
And how are you gentlemen this
part
morning?
Part of the game. Why don't you shut up? Nah.
Oh, Lord.
I actually missed you last week, Sean.
Did you now?
I did.
I didn't know you were gone until I got a call Tuesday asking about it.
If I was dead?
No, not if you're dead, but where were you?
I was,
where
hoping was I was dead?
Yeah.
There were tons of emails wondering... I just took a day off, but I appreciate that everybody was so concerned. And I know it's a different kind of show when one of us isn't here, it's a different show. But when two of us are gone, it's a pretty different show.
It can be very different.
Yeah, it's a very different show. I get it. But, you know, people saying my Sunday routine is disrupted. So we appreciate that, you know, we're a part of your Sunday routine. We appreciate all the, but well, there was a lot of, there was one that said, is Dean being squeezed out? It's a matter of time, but there, right at the moment, it wasn't the case last week, but I'm sure one day that will be the case.
Next week, the week after?
Yeah. So, I was doing some interviews, and you went on a fabulous vacation.
Gilda and I had a wonderful time on the mid-Atlantic coast.
Ooh, fancy.
We'll put it that way.
Look at you, Mr. and Mrs. Howell.
We had the beach umbrella and everything. It was great. Yeah. We had a wonderful time.
So you just relaxed and sat on the beach and ran your toes in the sand?
Yes.
Is that what?
Yes, yeah. Essentially. That was true. Nice. Yeah.
No highlights? You didn't get any free stuff anywhere?
No, didn't get any of that. No. No. But had a wonderful time there. It's along the Rehoboth Beach coast. We did not see the Bidens.
Right.
We were not there. But it's a wonderful place to visit. Very popular this time of year. There's a boardwalk, All kinds of restaurants and shops and everything.
And do you have any saltwater taffy?
No, but there's a place there that's an institution called Dolly's that has great saltwater taffy.
I love saltwater taffy.
We had terrific ice cream at Starkey's.
Nice.
An institution ice cream place there. Great seafood, as you might guess.
Oh, baby.
Beautiful, beautiful several days there.
Nice.
Yep.
That's
yep.
nice.
Yep.
And Andy was here slaving away.
I was here.
Yep. Andy shows up. You and I are off.
I'm like, hey,
gallivanting. And like, Andy
shows up.
Where's
the rest of the group?
Andy shows up for his appointed position.
Yep. Well, the week before I was not around.
Yes.
We were in... Melina and I were in Las Vegas celebrating her mom's birthday, and it was 110 degrees.
Oh, that's nice.
I actually have friends
that
live in Phoenix that spent a month in this part of the country to get away from the heat.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I have relatives in Phoenix also, and you know, usually they're the ones calling me, telling me how nice and pleasant it is there.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of the winter when it's terrible here. But, you know, they called me a couple times. It's like, so how's that pleasant Phoenix weather? It's like you can't even go outside. You know, you get in your car, you're wearing shorts, and you get in your car, forget about it.
You better have one of those sun shields on your dashboard.
Everybody there has one of those in Vegas. And, you know, you really realize it when just the first step out the door. I mean, it's like you walked into an oven. I mean, it's just, it's oppressive.
Yeah.
Of course, our first thought was, how do you walk your dog in this? I mean, it's cruel to walk your dog on the pavement.
That's
that
very true. Do they wear little shoes?
Little booties, or they have somebody that take them to a park or something like that with grass. But there's not a lot of it around there.
Yeah. Yeah. And the weather hasn't been terrible here.
No, it's been
nice. I think this has been a very acceptable summertime for us. A
couple of heat waves.
We had some rough storms here the past few weeks.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah. But that's just my opinion. You can agree or disagree. That's entirely your prerogative.
Oh, goodness.
I am
just
so,
saying.
I am so tempted just to saying. Lay into you right now. The far-flung forecast, our weekly compendium of the latest facts, figures, information, all presented to us by the tan and sassy Mr. Dave Schwann.
Tan and sassy.
Still getting sand out of his swim trunks. Dave Schwann.
No Thurston Howell III here. Well, thank you very much, Dean. It's great to be back. And good morning, everyone. Get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices, because we're not going all that far, relatively speaking, from the Chicago area. We're staying in Illinois, going down to...
There's one hate mail right there.
Yeah.
Somebody tell Dave Schwann it's Illinois and not Illinois.
We got one like that a number of years ago when I jokingly referred to Comiskey Park as Kaminsky. And somebody wrote in right away, "Will you tell him that it's not even that anymore?" You know, it's whatever. But
I listen to your show every week and enjoy it. But Dave Schwann just mispronounced it.
I heard a pronounced error. I am calling to make a correction.
Oh, good. Now somebody can send in an email about us making fun of listeners also.
But we go...
You better keep your steno pads handy today.
We're going actually about 50 miles south-southwest of Springfield, staying in Illinois, to a town known as Benelled.
Never heard of it.
Benelled. B-E-N-L-D. It's in Macoupin County. The population is 1,464. It was established in 1903, and it gets its name from the founder of the town, whose name was Benjamin L. Dorsey.
Oh, they combined it.
So you combine the first three letters of the man's name, B-E-N, his middle initial, L, and the first letter of his last name, D, hence Benelled. And we bring up Benelled for a number of reasons. One being that I saw an article about the town a few weeks ago, and it being among some of the more difficult names to pronounce. You look at it and you go, well, how is this said? Is it Benelled or Benelled? Or, but it's Benelled.
It's B-E-N-L-D. L-D.
B-E-N-L-D.
How would I say that?
Benelled. Benelled. Yeah.
I'd say Benelled.
Yeah, it's Benelled, but it's Benelled.
Benelled.
And in 1938, a meteorite landed in Benelled, and it is one of the few known meteorites to hit a man-made object. It punched a hole in the roof of Ed McCain's garage and embedded itself in the seat of his 1928 Pontiac coupe.
Is that where Otis kept his still?
No, that was in the Rimshaw place down the street.
Hey, the meteorite just hit Ed Benelled's garage. Is Otis okay?
No, Otis was in the...
Otis was out riding a cow down the street.
That's right. But actually, part of this meteorite is on display at the Field Museum. And on top of all of this, Benelled, Illinois is also on one of the original alignments of Route 66. When Route 66 was first dedicated in 1926, that road now is currently Illinois State Highway 4.
Hmm.
But if you drive south on Illinois State Highway 4 through Benelled and Carlinville and that area, another little town called Gillespie, that was on the original alignment of Route 66. So in Benelled, Illinois, or do you say Benelled? It's Benelled, Illinois. It's sunny and 80 degrees, pretty much what we have here.
773 area code texts in, my grandmother is from Benelled.
There you go.
Nice to hear it talked about on the radio.
Absolutely, yes. This is why we do it.
So that was the only time a meteorite actually hit
a man-made object.
A man-made object.
Yeah. Up until that time.
All the up until then.
Up until then.
Oh,
yeah.
So it was the first time that
it happened. Right. And a neighbor, Mrs. Crum, was standing about 50 feet from the impact.
Mrs. Crum.
I think he's making this
part up. Well, she and Miss Edwards were talking about cookie recipes for the church bazaar.
Right. Pickle recipes for the state
That's
fair.
Right.
Corn dogs.
Only Shawnee and I know what we're
talking about. What we're talking about there, yes.
It's our Shawnee. You have to get your Dean and Dave decoder rings. You can send in for your decoder rings if you want to also understand what we mean.
It is 9:40. Dean Richards back in the saddle.
On our Sunday morning show, coming up later on, WWE legend and actor John Cena talks to me about his new movie. He's one of the nicest guys that I've ever interviewed. I've interviewed him multiple times. He could not be nicer, more pleasant, polite, funny. You'll hear it when we play the interview back a little bit later on. Also coming up in our Weekend Theater segment today, we're going to be talking about the Dance for Life benefit, which is now in its 33rd year. The event which brings half a dozen of Chicago's best dance companies together on one stage in one night and raises money for good cause. We also do our Food Time show. That's coming up later on. And the Week in Health, which is what we have been doing here in this particular time slot for four or five years, something like that. Now, joining us this morning is Dr. Victoria Weston, who is an emergency medicine physician and the director of immediate care in Gurnee. Dr. Weston, thank you so much for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Really appreciate you joining us today. One of the big stories here in Chicago has been the induction of former Chicago Bears superstar Steve McMichael, Mongo, into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is battling ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Some people call it Lou Gehrig's disease. And we see him in the bed. He's, you know, pretty disabled right now. And I was just wondering if you could, you know, just give us sort of the basics on what ALS is and what it does to people who get it.
Absolutely. It's a really difficult and terrible illness. So typically there is a only a 2 to 5 year survival rate. You know, 30% of people make it 5 years, 10% 10 years, maybe 5% 20 years or longer. So most people do not do well with this. It is a degenerative illness, and unfortunately, there is no cure. And so common symptoms include muscle weakness or stiff muscles. People might find that their reflexes are a little bit overactive or have some speech difficulty or trouble swallowing. So, and it's progressive. So usually people come in and then they eventually make the diagnosis. As it progresses, people can lose their ability to speak and breathe on their own. So, you know, you can see people sometimes have what we call a trach if they can't breathe on their own. But ultimately, you know, as I mentioned, there's unfortunately no cure.
It's a neuromuscular disease. Is that right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
So is it a breakdown of the brain's ability to communicate with the muscular system in your body? And when I say the muscular system, I don't mean just arms and legs. But as you say, the ability to swallow, the ability to breathe, the ability to do things that you don't even realize that your brain and the muscular system is doing. Am I explaining this right, or am I making it even more confusing?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunately just a really difficult illness, and it's just your body can't tell. You know, your body communicates with your muscles and organs through a variety of ways. And ultimately, when that communication breaks down, that's when you have these types of effects. So you can see that people really go through quite a bit when they are diagnosed with this. And I think there's a lot of great research being done, but, you know, unfortunately, not much to do other than treat the symptoms at this point.
Yeah, you know, it's called Lou Gehrig's disease because of the baseball player Lou Gehrig, who had it and retired with his famous speech that he gave at Yankee Stadium, that he feels like he's the luckiest guy on earth. But that was probably the first high-profile case of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. And there have been other high-profile people as well. But Steve McMichael announced that he was diagnosed in 2021 at the age of 63. So you're saying that the survival rate for this is fairly short. That's 3 years for him. That you know, that seems pretty like he's been living with it and battling it for quite a long time.
Absolutely. And you can see that it's progressive. And so I think I saw that his family, or he had written a speech before he lost his ability to speak on his own. So, you know, it doesn't start off as severe as what you might have seen in the photos of him, but it does progressively get worse over a few year period.
Yeah, it's tough, and our prayers are with him, and the research continues. I mean, I remember from when back in the day we used to do the Jerry Lewis Labor Day Telethon for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. One of the diseases, if you will, that we were always talking about battling and trying to find a cure for was ALS. And there have been progress made in fighting other neuromuscular diseases, but this one remains elusive, apparently, huh?
So far, unfortunately, but I think there's a lot of great research being done. The ALS Association has a lot of great resources, so hopefully that will change in our lifetimes, but right now, unfortunately, there is no cure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. So we'll just keep an eye on that in the meantime. In the meantime, what else I have been seeing in the news? More upticks in COVID. What's the latest on all of this?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we're certainly seeing an increase in rates across the Chicago area. The Chicago Department of Public Health has an alert that they release every week. And so for this past week, rates were around 11.3%. And that's of those samples that we know about that tested positive. You know, certainly it may be higher than that out in the community. Flu still very low at less than 1%, but we are seeing an increased rate of this in the community. So it's good for everyone to be aware of it, you know, take precautions as you might normally do, and we'll have to keep an eye on it.
Does that mean, I mean, I think a lot of people kind of fell off their regimes of vaccinations when things died down a little while. Maybe that's why we're having an uptick now, is that people kind of let their guards down a little bit. But where should people be with regard to vaccines against COVID? I know it's a, you know, can be a politically hot charged topic, but I'm more interested in people being healthy than anything else.
Yes, absolutely. So the good news is there will be a new updated 2024-2025 vaccine from what the CDC has been saying that will be released sometime this fall, likely hopefully by September, if not later this month. And Moderna, Novavax, and Pfizer are all releasing newer versions of the vaccine. And so really, it's recommended for anyone 6 months and above to get it. The people who are most at risk, though, are those at the extremes of age, or especially elderly patients. So great if you've initially had the initial vaccine series, great if you've been boosted, but even better if you can get the fall booster when it comes out.
Okay. And take all the necessary precautions, the usual. Should we go back to wearing masks again? A lot of people were wearing gloves back in the day. Are we at that point, do you think? Or what do you think is the appropriate precautionary measure we can all be taking right now?
Absolutely. Well, at this point, we're in a different place than we were at the start of the pandemic. Most people have either had it, or they've had it multiple times, or they've been vaccinated, or some combination. So most people have some pre-existing immunity to this. So it's different than when it was an entirely new illness that we had not been exposed to. We have a lot more information about it. We have treatments. We have Paxlovid, which is an antiviral for people who qualify. So there's a lot more that we can do. In terms of transmission rates, it's pretty low outdoors. And as far as masking and gloves, that's really a personal risk assessment. You know, if you're someone who has an organ transplant, or you're being treated for cancer and you have a weakened immune system, or you're, you know, you have an elderly relative or someone you're caring for who's, you know, a newborn infant, your risk assessment might be different than someone who's otherwise healthy and has no risk factors.
I was having a conversation with somebody the other day. We were talking about the early days of COVID, and we were kind of laughing a little bit. It's like, remember when we thought that we had to, like, wash our groceries, wash the actual packaging of our groceries when we brought it back from the grocery store? I was doing it. I was taking every precaution, but now I'm kind of laughing about it a little bit. But we know a lot more about the disease than we did back then, right?
Absolutely. And if we don't know, you know, it's better to be cautious. But now that we know more, and we've had multiple years of good research and good quality research and updated guidelines, and most people have some immunity to it, that we can approach things a bit differently.
What about long-term effects for people who did get COVID over the past couple of years? I know that a lot of people had heart issues as a result of that. Some people had very, very long-term loss of taste and smell. Have there been residual effects that we've seen as a result of people getting COVID during the worst part of the pandemic?
Some people are having long COVID symptoms, and there's a lot of great research being done to better understand what exactly constitutes long COVID, what's the cause, and what we can do to help people who were unfortunately affected by it. So there's a lot of good things coming in the pipeline. The best thing to do to prevent it at this point is to be vaccinated. If you don't get COVID, you're not going to get long COVID. But for those who unfortunately do have those symptoms, there's a lot that can be done. Certainly cardiac issues, but also some people with lung problems persistently and haven't quite gotten back to their normal status. So a lot to be done, but obviously certainly affecting people's quality of life who are experiencing those symptoms.
Are those things that correct themselves, the cardiac problems or lung issues, or are those things that require further care?
Really depends on what the issue is. And some people, you know, if they, for example, find, like, let's say you're an athlete and you find that you're taking some time to get back to your normal performance level and that your breathing isn't quite normal. You know, some people do gradually get back to their normal baseline status, but it really depends on what the problem is and how severely ill you were and how severely you were affected by the initial illness.
The 630 area code says, my husband and I are recovering from COVID right now. Do we need to wait a period of time before getting the new vaccine that you were talking about?
Yes, I would wait a little bit since you just absolutely have it. But the good news is it should be out later this fall, and it should be available through the fall. So I would have them, I would recommend they talk with their family physician and see when they recommend that they get it based on, you know, when they first got ill and their other health conditions, and they can take it from there.
In a general sense, though, if, you know, if someone has COVID, how long should they wait or how long do they need to wait before they can get the new vaccination?
Usually we recommend about 90 days, but best discuss with your family doctor. But reasonably, you want to give your body some time to recover from the illness that you just had before you get the vaccine.
Okay. Let me also ask about Alzheimer's disease. There have been a couple of stories this week about new tests, new developments with regard to diagnosing Alzheimer's disease in the first place with people. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think just to give a baseline, Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia, but it's a very specific type of dementia, and it causes progressive memory loss. Alzheimer's type of dementia is caused by an abnormal protein that forms a plaque in the brain, and so that affects your ability to think and perform your normal activities. There is a new blood test that's coming on. There's a number of new tests that aim to detect this protein in the blood in early stages of the illness. And this is different than the more invasive types of testing we've done before with either certain types of specific CT scans or spinal tap or other testing. And so this blood test is available. It's still new, so still not FDA approved. There are no guidelines for use, but they are being developed. So it's really recommended for people who are showing early signs of possible Alzheimer's. So for example, there's some signs of early cognitive impairment, someone's forgetting things that they normally would remember, having trouble taking care of their basic activities or their finances, but not necessarily someone who's, you know, maybe forgotten a name once or is otherwise worried. So a lot of good research to come on this, but a really exciting new development. Hopefully, if we can identify it earlier, we can intervene earlier.
773 area code asks, is Alzheimer's hereditary?
Everything can have a genetic component, but it's not recommended for the new test. If you have a family member who's had Alzheimer's, they're not necessarily recommending that you have this test.
Okay, so it doesn't necessarily mean if you have a family member or two or three to get Alzheimer's that you might be a candidate for it also?
You could be, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you should get this new test.
What it would be the sign that you should get this new test? Just symptoms of Alzheimer's?
Yes. So people find that they have just progressive memory loss or confusion. So, you know, people, an early sign is someone starts to get lost or forgetfulness where you're repeatedly asking the same questions. People sometimes have behavioral changes or some aggression, you know, trouble taking care of basic activities. Sometimes people wander off. So more than just, you know, oh, I forgot this name or this phone number, or, oh, I forgot to go grab my groceries.
Yeah, I mean, it's something which is a much more severe kind of memory loss, more than, you know, where did I put my car keys? I mean, we all have memory loss. Everybody
100%
can't remember some things. Why did I walk into this room? It's like it should be much more severe of who are you in this room? Who is that other person who you would normally recognize? Something that would be completely unusual or repeatedly asking the same question, even though it's been answered over and over again. Am I right about that?
100%. So, you know, this is different than normal aging, and it's a very specific form of dementia. So if you're not having anything beyond, you know, typical forgetfulness, wouldn't worry. But if you've noticed in yourself or, you know, in a family member that there's significant changes in their cognition or behavior, that's when you might want to do more investigating.
708 area code is asking, will there be free tests available for COVID sometime in the future?
I don't know the answer to that question, but it's a good one. I certainly hope so.
Yeah. I think some insurance are still covering it, but it's not free the way it was during the worst part of the pandemic. Dr. Victoria Weston, we really appreciate you joining us today. Very informative. Emergency medicine physician and director of immediate care in Gurnee. We appreciate you being with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And we've been talking a lot about the Olympics, but we also have to spend a little time in recognizing Steve McMichael, now a member of the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm so glad that it happened, and they presented it to him at his home in Homer Glen. But I'm so glad that he was, you know, able to be with us as that was presented yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of his former teammates that are wondering why it took as long as it did to get him in. Looking at his numbers and looking at the longevity and the impact that he had not only on the Bears 85 team but other teams in that era as well. You know, and I can't help but go back to think about Ron Santo too, because you know he never got to realize that he was a Hall of Famer. He had passed away, and they, you know, a couple of years later he was put into the Hall, which is a crime to be honest with you. But I think you're right. I mean, it's great that he was able to.
Why did it take so long for, you know, for Mongo? And I mean, for Ron Santo. I mean, is it political? Is it
well? It depends on who you talk to. I mean, first of all, a lot of the writers for baseball were not around when Ron played, and they knew him only as a broadcaster, and they, you know, would have to go back and look at numbers. But if you go back and look at the numbers, they're equal to, if not better than, Brooks Robinson in some cases, who was a Hall of Famer a long time ago. But you know, those teams won championships, and you know, Ronnie and Ernie and Billy and Fergie never got to experience that with the Cubs, the 69 team, of course, we all know about. And sometimes people will use that against them. Sometimes they use the fact that there are four guys in from that team already that never won a championship. Why put a fifth guy in? And you know, as far as McMichael goes, he played an unheralded position. You know, the defensive ends get a lot of the credit for sacks of the quarterback and you know, stopping the run and things like that. But without a good defensive tackle inside occupying several blockers, those guys aren't free to do what they need to do to be able to rush the quarterback. So it's they don't get as much notoriety as the guys on the end. People that play the game and people that understand the game and have lived the game, they know that this has been a long time coming for Steve McMichael. And like you said, thankfully he was around to experience that jacket being put on him and to get a glimpse of the bus from the Hall of Fame that they flew in from Canton that morning.
That bust looks awesome.
It does. It does. And you know,
it is classic Mongo.
It is
just that fiery look. You know, that we remember from you know, the days gone by.
He was a personality before it was, you know, fashionable to be a personality. You know, he was on that team. Everybody will tell you that. He had his outlandish ways, but he never let that get in the way of playing football. He was once it was Sunday or Monday or Thursday or whatever game they, you know, had that week, he was ready to go. He practiced up and he was ready to play and let it fly there. And you know, post football playing career is where a lot of people got to know him, because you could really see that personality shining through. He did some pre and post game shows on the radio here in town, and of course, famously with Mark Giangreco on Channel 5, the Sports Sunday after the football games, where he would do all sorts of crazy things, like bring out his hunting knife on TV and those kind of things. So, but anybody that had met him just realized that he was just a super guy, and that you know, a lot of that was persona, but you know, for the most part, a tremendous human being. And the best thing that they've been showing highlights wise was a game in 2001 where the Cubs were playing at Wrigley, and McMichael was going to do the seventh inning stretch, and the recently retired umpire Angel Hernandez, who was known pretty much throughout his career for not being a very good umpire, made a call at home plate that was egregiously wrong. Ron Coomer actually was tagged out at the home plate and was sent the crowd into a tizzy. It was a night game. And here's Mongo doing the seventh inning stretch saying, "I'm going to have a talk with that umpire down there." And watching Angel Hernandez fake tough with his arms folded, looking up toward the press box. And he eventually called the press box to have McMichael removed from the ballpark.
Wow.
Yeah. Because of those comments.
Umpires can do that.
Apparently so, yeah. But that was something that if you haven't seen it, YouTube it, it's worth watching.
Wow. Also worth noting that there are more Chicago Bears in the Pro Football Hall of Fame than any other team.
Now, how about that? You know, Devin Hester went in as a Bear, too. Julius Peppers was there and being mentioned among Bears lore because he played a few seasons for the Bears, but he went in as a Carolina Panther. He was originally drafted by them and went in as a Carolina Panther. But yeah, there's so many Bears in that Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's almost like it's their Hall of Fame. You know, it's the Chicago Bears / Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, I'm happy for Devin Hester, happy for Steve McMichael. Schwani, you want to add anything to our little sports corner here?
Well, I do want to say that it was very touching to watch everything yesterday with Steve McMichael and the fact that they went to his house so he could actually see everything. Then his wife making the trip to Canton,
right?
You know, for the ceremony. Yeah, it was just terrific and very touching. And you mentioned Ron Santo also. We visited the Baseball Hall of Fame just about a year after he was inducted there. And when I went up to the plaque there, I just couldn't help thinking. But it's such a shame that this man wasn't here for this.
Yeah, I know. And the family obviously got to enjoy it, and it means a lot to them to
Ronnie,
this day, obviously.
Ronnie wanted that more than anything.
Yes,
he did.
Yes,
he did. And there was a couple of times where we thought, okay, this is the year. I remember being on his couch in Arizona in 2003.
Heartbreaking.
And that was...
Oh, when he got the... And he was rejected. Yeah.
It was a tough day to be around. And the thing that he went back to, and I'm sure, you know, Misty and Steve kind of feel this way as well, He showed us boxes. I mean, absolutely boxes, dozens upon dozens of boxes of fans' letters.
Sure.
You know, wishing him well and hoping that he got in and da-da-da. He said, it's going to sting for a couple of days, but I'm going to look at these letters and I'm going to forget all about it.
No.
And he did. And they retired his number later that year. And that was very meaningful for him. He knew of the statue. He never got to see it unveiled, Ronnie. But he knew that it was being commissioned and knew that it was being made for him. So there's, you know, the little solace there. But
jeez, I miss him.
I do too.
I miss
every day.
I can imagine. I mean, you times 10.
Yeah.
You were with him all the time.
And I just did a podcast with Jeff Santo, his son, who's doing a podcast. And he called me and out of the blue and just said, let's reminisce and let's tell some stories. And it was so much fun just to kind of relive the all the hairpiece stories and everything else that Ronnie was. And but you know, going back to Steve McMichael real quick too, because as Schwani kind of alluded to, he had several big name notable teammates gathered around his bed yesterday. I mean,
he sure did.
Mike Singletary, Jimbo Covert.
Yeah.
And Richard Dent, there was a bunch of guys that were there that they just know how much Mongo meant to them, first of all, to the organization, second of all, and just the whole accolade here to finally get his due and get into the Hall of Fame. It was touching to see all those guys there and rallying around one of their teammates.
I don't know what it means. I was looking at a list for the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. And for some reason, Schwani, your picture, Andy, and my picture have red lines through them.
Yeah. Do not admit.
Yeah, I don't exactly understand that. Still to come on the program today, WWE legend and actor John Cena talks to me about his new movie. Also, we've got a special gift card to give away. Our 66 days of giveaways celebrating Route 66. got a $100 gift card to Hollingsworth Candies, three-generation women-owned and operated artisan shop in Lockport, making toffees, brittles, and chocolates, and also a $100 ExxonMobil gift card to fuel your adventures on the first 100 miles of Route 66. And we're going to take caller 6 on our contest line right now at 312-981-7200. Caller 6, 312-981-7200. The 66 days of giveaways brought to you by the Illinois Office of Tourism and the first 100 miles of Route 66, fueled by Heritage Corridor Destinations. Visit WGNradio.com/contest for your chance to win the ultimate Route 66 prize pack worth over $1,700. Shawnee, you've probably driven the Route 66 more than most, I would think.
Well, we did it. I did it by myself in 1993, and then Dad and I did it.
The whole way? Here to L.A.?
Yes, all the way from Chicago to L.A. In 93, again in 2009. But when I was a boy, we would drive the real, you know, when it was a real highway, still an operating official highway in the 1960s to visit my grandparents and relatives that lived in southern Illinois. My mother's family lived down there. So, yes.
You did it in a horse and buggy?
No, we didn't. actually, see, in the 60s, it was a 1960 Oldsmobile Dynamic 88.
Wow, what a car,
that's
boy. That's a gigantic car.
It was a boat.
I saw.
It was a boat.
I was.
Complete with an AM radio.
Push button?
Yes.
Yeah.
Five buttons.
That's fancy. That's fancy right there. I was thumbing through, I don't know, a magazine or somewhere online, something. I came across a picture of a 1959 Chevy Biscayne.
Yes, sure.
That was my dad's car.
That was the Biscayne, yeah.
Also a gigantic, gigantic car.
V8 engines, probably.
Yeah.
And got about 6 miles to the gallon.
Right. He was so
when
proud.
Gas was 25 cents a gallon.
He was so proud of that car, though.
Well, sure.
I think I told you the story.
Was that
right?
The one that you caked in mud?
We washed in mud.
That was the one?
Yeah, it was brand new. Brand new on top of it. My brother Bill and I, we thought, you know, this is Dad's new car. We're going to wash it for him. So it had just rained. So there were puddles of filthy, dirty water, you know, like on the curbs. And we took that water and rubbed it all over my dad's brand new car. My God, how did he not kill us for that?
Oh, yeah, I imagine he was very, very fussy and particular about it, and as was my father about cars. The least little scratch, the least little mark was...
They could come out with their handkerchief and
rub it out.
Take a thumbprint that might have gotten on the car. But those cars, I remember those big 88s. It was a phenomenal car. But the Chevy Biscayne had this big wing tail lights.
Yeah.
And
you couldn't miss them.
Those cars were amazing.
They really were. And talk about durability. We took that car literally around the country.
Yeah.
We did. It was amazing.
We drove
around. Those were the days.
We drove around the South Side a lot. We didn't do a lot of road trips. Four boys in the back seat, I think, was more than my parents could take.
A couple of stops at Original Rainbow Cone, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, we went to Original Rainbow. I remember a few A&W root beer stops. Dog and Suds. Dog and Suds?
Those are good.
Get some root beers and some dogs.
We stopped at the Dog and Suds in Richmond, Illinois in May. Spending a day up in Wisconsin there.
Still good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Drive in, pulled in. It's just like old times.
They bring it out on a tray?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And stopped in at Anderson's Candies there.
Oh, that's nice.
We had a great day.
I drove by Super Dogs last night.
Super Dog.
Going someplace and drove by Super Dogs. I was like, should I stop?
Well, did you?
I am on my way to dinner. It probably wouldn't be a good idea to stop at Superdoc.
Some of the best. I love everything they have there, but their shakes are among the best I've ever had.
Crinkle fries?
Crinkle fries. Ooh. Yep.
Good stuff.
Yep.
And they bring it to you on a tray in your car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't want French fry and onion smell in their car for the next 4 weeks? This is Kim in Lamont, who is our sixth caller on the contest line. Hi, Kim. Good morning.
Hi, Dean. Good morning. I'm so excited.
I'm excited that you're our winner today. Congratulations.
I have driven past that Hollingsworth Candies. I don't know how many times. I've never been in there, so it's awesome.
Now, you're in Lamont, so you're not too far from Lockport, right?
I'm not far at all.
Yeah, it's just a quick jump over there. But so you've got a $100 gift card for Hollingsworth Candies and also a $100 ExxonMobil gift card to fuel your adventures on the first 100 miles of Route 66, 66 days of giveaways from the Illinois Office of Tourism in the first 100 miles of Route 66, fueled by the Heritage Corridor destinations. So congrats on that.
That is awesome. Thank you so much. I'm excited.
Yeah, so what's on your Sunday dance card today?
Well, I might make my way over to the Forge here in Lamont. I see they have some kind of market with a lot of vendors, nice. So I think I'll check that out.
Oh, nice, nice. I think it's going to be a beautiful day today. We got to enjoy these days while we can, right?
That's right. It's already August. Hard to believe.
Yeah, it's going to the Christmas displays are going to be in the stores any day now. So get out and enjoy it. Well, listen, congratulations to you. Hang on for just a minute because Jack Hammer wants to get a little bit more information from you. I hope you have a wonderful day today. Thank you very much.
Great, Dean. Thank you. You too.
You're very welcome. And we'll have more opportunities. By the way, while I'm talking about opportunities to win something, we've got our next Dean's Night Out at the Paramount Theater all lined up. It is to see the musical, The Full Monty. This is such a fun show. It is a show about these laid-off steel workers who get the brilliant idea to survive during their strike or their layoff to bear it all on stage. And it's a really fun and entertaining show. We've got tickets to see it out at the Paramount in Aurora September 1st. You can enter to win to join me for the show. We'll have a little pre-show reception, and then we'll all go in and see the show together at the Paramount. You can enter for your opportunity to win tickets by going to WGNradio.com/contest. The sweepstakes will end Sunday, August 25th. At 11:59 p.m. for the Full Monty, kicking off their 2024-25 season at the beautiful Paramount Theater in downtown Aurora. Ever been to that Taste of Elmwood Park, Schwani?
Not that one, no. Have you?
Well, there's only one Taste of Elmwood
Park. No, I realize.
It's not like there's 10 of them and you had to pick from.
Well, there are various tastes of, but I have not been to the one in Elmwood Park.
Oh, the Taste of Elmwood Park is fantastic. They have great music, great dancing, you know, traditional and modern dancing. It's a very Italian kind of theme. And the restaurants, are serving up great Italian food and traditional summer fest kind of food. So it's always been one of my favorites. I hope I can get out there next weekend. I forget.
Didn't invite me.
How fun would that be if the three of us went out?
That would be great.
Let's do it.
Okay. Done.
Boy, he really sounds excited, doesn't he, Andy?
Anytime I can hang out with you. Especially in the outdoors. I'm still scarred from when you and Andy and I went on the Alzheimer's walk.
Oh, yeah.
And for, 10K, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Schwani didn't stop talking the whole time. Pointing out the deciduous
plants and trees
and leaves It was like a 10K horticulture field trip.
I was trying to instill some knowledge.
I just wanted to go jump in the lake.
No, more like push me in the lake is what you wanted there.
No, I was willing to jump. I could get away from your lecture. Anyway, Taste of Elmwood Park next weekend. Should be a lot of fun. Now it is 10:38. Welcome in. The Week in Theater is on the air. What's going on stage in Chicago? Lots of summertime productions and theaters around the Chicago area, but one production that I've been passionate about through the years is coming up next weekend. It is called Dance for Life. It started 33 years ago. This is the 33rd annual Dance for Life, the show that brings Chicago's best dance companies together all on one stage for one performance, each one donating a performance to this spectacular evening. And it started off as strictly as an AIDS benefit to raise money for people living with HIV and AIDS, dancers living with HIV and AIDS. It has now evolved into what is called the Chicago Dance Health Fund, which provides dance industry professionals with financial support for preventative health care and critical medical needs. So it's still a benefit. It still benefits and helps dancers, just in a little bit of a wider scope. And as I say, Dance for Life is next weekend, August the 10th, at the Auditorium Theater. For the first 20 years of Dance for Life, I was honored to be the host of the event. It continues, and Sarah Schumann is the Chicago Dance Health Fund Board President and joins us right now. Sarah, welcome to WGN. Nice to have you with us.
Hey, Dean. Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
It's very nice to have you. So did I correctly describe sort of what Dance for Life is and, how it benefits, in addition to being a great night of entertainment, how it benefits others?
Yes, you definitely did. We've expanded over the years to beyond the AIDS crisis to, terminal illnesses that hit our community, cancer, whatever. And then during the pandemic, we opened up a different type of grant for health and wellness, which could be used towards, mental health care or dental issues, all kinds of things that happen to dance industry professionals where they may not have health coverage or maybe they don't have dental coverage. And we wanted to make sure our community was healthy and thriving. And so that is what Dance for Life is all about. And the dance community comes together to raise funds. This is our biggest fundraiser. As you said, you were there at the very beginning. And we've been doing this for 33 years. This is the 33rd year of Dance for Life.
That's amazing. I can't even believe that, because it seems like yesterday that a handful of dedicated people, Harriet Ross, Keith Elliott, Danny Copelson, among others, just thought, this is something that we should do to try to help others. Because as you say, dancers, when you're in any kind of entertainment, frequently that's not a full-time job with benefits.
Often, it can be, right.
Often you're a waiter or, you have a day job while you're doing this sort of thing.
Yes, you're doing something.
Yeah, so.
Something to subsidize it, and some of the, even the dancers that are doing it full-time, for instance, the Joffrey or Giordano, Gus Giordano's company, or Hubbard Street, a lot of dancers, they may be on their parents' insurance, and then at 26, they're off their parents' insurance, right. And then they haven't realized, I have to get insurance, or they might not have dental,
Right.
And then And then, you know, who has time to go to the dentist? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I need a root canal. And that's going to cost what?
Right.
You know, and we really want to keep our community healthy. So that is our mission. And it's just great to feel so much support on that night from the whole dance community coming in to help their colleagues.
Absolutely.
For this purpose.
Not to mention, it is a spectacular evening of entertainment. Even if you don't care about all the benevolence, and you should, but even if you don't care about that, you want to see the cream of Chicago's dance community all in one place, one night. This is the show that you have got to go and see. Talk to me a little bit about who will be performing at this year's Dance for Life.
Well, we have 9 different companies performing, and then we have the finale, which is always a spectacular event. So some of the companies that are performing are Joffrey Ballet, Hubbard Street Dance Chicago, Gus Giordano Jazz Company. We have Trinity Irish Ensemble Espanol. But then we have some companies that are new to Dance for Life this year. Ballet 5-8 is performing with us, Praise Productions, Winifred Hahn and dancers who Winnie Hahn has been part of the Chicago dance community for a long time, but this is the first time that she submitted for possibly getting into Dance for Life, where the committee said, yes, this has to be in. So it's the show is cultivated, curated by a committee, and some of the committee is from the community and some is from on the board, and everybody from the community can submit a work for the committee to look at, and then they choose and they set up the show. But it is always, as you said, some people say it is the most amazing dance event of the summer, not to be missed.
Without question. I mean, yeah. If you go to see Hubbard Street or Joffrey or Giordano or whoever, you get to see them, you know, which is great. Mm-hmm. But here, you get to see the best of every dance company that is in the Chicago area. In addition to very innovative works by some of Chicago's best choreographers. I can't recommend it enough. It is going to be at the Auditorium Theater on August the 10th, and tickets are available by going to auditoriumtheater.org, by calling 312-341-2300, or you can get information by going to cdhf.org, cdhf.org. Here's to another, great and successful performance this year. Looking forward to it.
Oh, I can hardly wait. I'm so excited. We got to see just a preview of the finale that's going to happen. And that finale, they have dancers from all these different companies are eligible to participate in the finale, and also area-wide Chicago dancers can participate. And they're all giving their time for this finale.
Right.
And also our tech people and our production staff and everybody that puts it together, it's a labor of love.
Yeah, all volunteer. Yeah, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Dance for Life, August 10th, Auditorium Theater. Let me repeat, the ticket info is auditoriumtheater.org or 312-341-2300 or cdhf.org. Sarah Schumann is the board president of Chicago Dance Health Fund. And I hope you have a great Sunday today, Sarah. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Dean. This has been a highlight.
10:50, this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. On our theater segment, I wanted to spend a little time saluting one of the greats, not only of theater, but of motion pictures and of certainly live musical performance. The great Louis Armstrong was born on this day in 1901, nicknamed Satchmo. He was a trumpeter and a vocalist. He was among the most influential figures in jazz. His career spanned five decades and several eras in the history of jazz. He won the Grammy Award for Best Male Vocal Performance in 1965 for his version of Hello, Dolly, as well as a posthumous win for the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 1972. As Schwani mentioned, he spent some time here in Chicago as well, developing a form of melodic improvised jazz. In 1925, he married pianist and composer Lil Hardin, and they bought a home at 421 East 44th Street in Chicago. This was his private residence here in the great city of Chicago. I wanted to pay a little tribute this morning with one of the great songs ever, a duet that he did with one of the greats ever, Ella Fitzgerald. Ella and Louis Armstrong doing the song from Porgy and Bess, Summertime. Wow. 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 That is pure heaven.
Right, that arrangement is gorgeous.
The arrangement, their vocal stylings, their everything. Wow. They don't make them like that anymore.
No. No, that's artistry that will never come again.
I'm not one that goes, the music back in my day was the greatest. That you can't listen to that and say that's not one of the greatest pieces of music that's ever been in the history of recorded sound. Just can't say that.
And that recording, I believe, was done in the late 50s? 50s, early 60s, maybe?
Let me see if I have any info on that. Well, it might be. Might be. I'm looking at the video of it, and it looks like late 50s, early 60s-ish.
Yeah. But they did two albums together, but that was one of them.
Fantastic. You young punks out there going to Lollapalooza right now.
You mean the big hootenanny downtown
big
there?
Big hootenanny downtown. Take a few minutes. Turn on your YouTube. Get on your YouTube machine and look up Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong together or separately. They are just as amazing either way. I saw Ella Fitzgerald perform at Ravinia once. This was in her later career.
Yeah, I saw her there too.
Still
1991.
Spectacular.
Yeah,
still spectacular, but.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had an opportunity to see Louis Armstrong. I never did.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
That's nice.
What? That's nice?
It's nice. It's fantastic.
Oh, the music? Oh, yeah. Timeless.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Louis Armstrong born this day, according to many sources, they didn't keep great records back in 1901 for births, especially for African American people.
That's very true.
Back then,
that's why there's been some discussion as to the exact date.
Yeah, but most of the sources say that he was born on this day in 1901. Can you imagine that? But either way, glad he was here. All the music that he gave us, I can't wait to. Flip on some Louis Armstrong today. Louis Armstrong is the correct pronunciation. And just listen to all that great music. And when he's on that trumpet at the beginning of Summertime, holy smokes, I got goosebumps.
Yeah. And you go back and you turn on your YouTube, as you say, to be the handiest way to get this. Go back to 1928 recording called West End Blues. You won't believe it.
Yeah.
Done right here in Chicago.
Done right here in Chicago. Yet people will wait for hours in front of a stage to see the cat litter boxes today. Lollapalooza, I don't get it. Wouldn't you say today's show has just been a whirlwind of entertainment?
Well, that's your opinion.
That's very true.
Everybody has their own opinion, and you are entitled to that.
What are you saying, that some people think it sucks? I don't understand the point you're making here.
I'm just trying to be noncommittal, I guess. No, I would have to say we this has been a good show.
I'd say this.
It's not over yet, but it's been a good show.
Oh, we could tank this show at any time.
And believe we me, often do.
Believe me, the Sunday morning Titanic could hit an iceberg at any moment. It's happened many times, believe me. But I think we've had a pretty good show
today.
We've
had a wonderful show.
I would agree.
Yeah, we're all here.
Indeed.
We're all, you know, fairly coherent. It's been nice.
Mm-hmm.
Had some nice giveaways this morning.
Thanks again for the music. That was just great to listen to.
I loved that so much.
Oh, wow.
I can't even tell you how much I loved playing that song for you today. So I'm glad a lot of people on our text line also enjoying it. So
excellent.
Also very nice. I've got some more tickets to give away for Peter and the Starcatcher at the Paramount Theater's intimate Copley Theater in Aurora, which is on stage there through September the 1st. This is known as the prequel to Peter Pan, that looks back at the genesis of Peter and Captain Hook and the many characters in the Enchanted World of Neverland. It won 5 Tony Awards, and it's playing at the Copley right now. You can get tickets by going to ParamountAurora.com. Shwani, pick a winner, a number on the phone line, 312-981-7200. Caller what?
Caller number 6.
Pick another number.
All right. Caller number 4.
Okay, so let's take callers 6 and 4. I don't know why you picked those numbers.
Just trying to make it easy on Jack.
I was going to say, if it was me, I would have picked 432.
I was going to say, all right, we'll go with 86 then.
It's too late. You already said 6 and 4, and I can't even tell you the dirty look that I'm getting from Jack right now for suggesting that. You're going to be the winner. Each of you will get a pair of tickets to Peter and the Starcatcher. Shwani, those are the musical stylings of the group called Blink-182.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald.
No, that's not Blink-180, not Blink-181. It's Blink-182. They are one of the headliners at the Lollapalooza tonight.
Now, my question...
I actually kind of like this.
Oh, that's good fun rock and roll.
Good fun rock and roll.
Now, my
I'm right
quest-
with you kids. I'm right in the mosh pit with you kids out there.
I can see you in the mosh
pit. Roll around in the mud, and you people are going to go, who's that old guy that fell in the mud? Should somebody help him up?
It's his own fault.
He's fallen and he can't get up.
I have one question, though.
Yes.
Where did they get a name like that?
Oh, why would you ask me a question like that?
Blink 182, you know. It's just like, where did the Strawberry Alarm Clock get their name? You remember that group, don't you, Dean?
Yeah, do you know the answer to that question?
No. Jack, you know, you've got all their records, don't you?
What's a record?
I missed the conversation.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm sure you've got all the records by the Strawberry Alarm Clock, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Classic.
See, without a doubt.
Right now, Jack is wishing that Dane Neal was back here. Because last week was so much easier when you dopes were all gone. Let me see.
According to the Google machine.
Yeah.
The band was originally named just Blink,
right?
But there was an other band that had that same name and sued them, and then they added the 182. I can't tell you exactly why, because it's not appropriate for radio to tell you why the 182 is what it is.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that then.
Yeah. Now I want to look it up.
Well, that's an answer. There you go.
It has something to do with a movie. And how many times a certain word is said.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you tell us which movie?
Scarface.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I think that's
we can indicate what word it might be.
there you go.
That pretty much explains.
And now you know the rest of the story.
All right, there you go. And now we just have to look up strawberry alarm clock. And also, what's a record, Uncle Dane? How many records do you have?
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay, so for Lollapalooza tonight, Blink 182 and Melanie Martinez are the big headliners tonight. Stop me when you've heard of any of them. Conan Gray performing today. Teddy Swims.
I've heard of Conan Gray.
White Fang.
I've heard of that.
You've heard of them?
Mm-hmm. Really? Don't know any music by him, but I've heard.
You've heard of White Fang? Okay.
Just in passing.
How about Slow Pulp?
No. No.
The Black Tiger Sex Machine?
No.
Let's see here. I can't mention that there's several names that I cannot mention. I think I can say Kalen Butts.
Sure.
All right.
B-U-T-T-S. I can say that. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the big headliners for today's Lollapalooza.
I've got the answer for Strawberry Alarm Clock.
Oh, thank you.
The group's name came about because they wanted to use the word strawberry in honor of the Beatles' Strawberry Fields Forever.
Ooh.
And they couldn't come up with anything that went with it. Then somebody noticed the ticking of an old alarm clock that was in the room, and they just added the words alarm clock.
There you go.
I think they made that up.
So there you go.
That is a stroke of brilliance.
I think that's a big lie. They made it up. And
I've gone to multiple Google sources for this.
I think that somebody got their stems and seeds mixed up that day.
Well, they were definitely a San Francisco group.
Yeah. Oh, what a shock. I can't hardly believe that.
And their first big hit, Incense and Peppermint.
Incense and Peppermint. Yes, it was. Yep. Far out, man. Rub some patchouli oil on myself.
Well, Jack's got these records. I know this. He has to.
Jack left about a half
Jack
hour
did.
Ago.
Okay.
Jack.
So you're in there alone now.
Jack left when we were talking about Dance for Life about an hour ago.
What's a record?
See, there we go.
There you go.
I still have to bring in my original copy of Sgt. Pepper. I haven't brought that in yet. You were interested in looking at it.
I was?
Yeah. No, Jack was.
Jack was, yeah.
I'm waiting on Pins and Needles. You know, my mom gave me a James Taylor CD like a month ago. She said I should bring it in to give it to Andy.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Which one is it?
No, I have no idea.
You don't know what it is.
It's white.
Sweet Baby James?
White cover?
Yeah.
Oh, that could be a number of albums.
I don't remember the name of the album, but it has got the song Mexico on it, right?
Oh, that's in the pocket.
That's the greatest hits one. That's the greatest hits.
Mexico.
Yeah.
Mexico, I think that was on the In the Pocket album.
We sound like three guys sitting around talking about Fibber McGee and Molly right now.
Remember what label it's on, Jack?
I'm going to go back to the 1970s because last weekend, Barry Manilow played in the Chicago area. And last night, he played in Milwaukee. He's doing his final tour, absolute final tour. So I thought today we would go back into the archive for one of the many chats that we have had with our old pal Barry Manilow. That is coming up next. Barry Manilow, no question about it, one of the great entertainers of all time. Sorry, I know that may be a polarizing statement, because for some people it's not cool to like Barry Manilow, but if you've ever been to any of his concerts, you know what an incredibly entertaining time that is. And there's no question that he made his mark on the pop charts with number one song after number one song, like this one, Can't Smile Without You, Weekend in New England, Looks Like We Made It, Daybreak, Even Now, the list goes on and on. Oh, Copacabana, of course. One of his biggest and most requested of all time. As I said, he's on his final musical tour right now. He was here in Chicago last weekend, and last night did his final show up in Milwaukee. So I thought it would be fun to go back into our archives and play back one of the many, many conversations that we had with Barry Manilow that go back into the late 70s is really when I first started having conversations with Barry. This one is from 5 years ago when it was right in the middle of the pandemic and he still had many, many projects going on.
Hi, Dean. Good to see you and talk to you again.
It's great to talk to you. You know what? I was just, you know, thinking about it and going through memory lane a little bit. We've been talking to each other for about 40 years, over 40 years, from the days when you used to play at Poplar Creek and the Chicago Stadium and all the venues here. I know you, right. You must have some terrific Chicago memories.
I do. You know, the first place that I broke out of with Mandy was Chicago at Mr. Kelly's. You remember Mr. Kelly's, Dean?
Sure, of course. The great old nightclub, sure.
Yeah. It was on Rush Street. Yeah, it was on Rush Street. And and before I broke out of it, I was with Bette Midler a couple of years before that. So I know that city. I know you guys.
Yeah. I'm afraid that's the problem when you know somebody for so long. You got all the dirty secrets to go along with it as well. It's great to see you. And I got to say, through all of these years and seeing your shows, I mean, you bring it for all of these shows through all of the years and now at the Westgate Resort. Can you believe it? 500 shows there?
Oh, yeah, 500, that's a big number. But, you know, we're counting it from when we began playing in Las Vegas at what I used to call it the Las Vegas Hilton, 1988. So from 1988 till last weekend, when you add them all up, it's 500 shows at the International Theater. That's what the number is. But it's still amazing.
It really is. It's very amazing. And I guess these residencies that a lot of artists are doing in Las Vegas now make it a lot easier for you. You don't have to tour the country. You're not in a different, you know, hotel every night. Really, it's just a lot easier on performers, isn't it?
Well, it was the perfect thing to drop in our lap, because I really, like you say, the road had really gotten to me, but they offered us the residency in Vegas, and that was great because I didn't want to retire, but I didn't want to go on the road the way we were, and this is the perfect answer to that, and I keep the band together, and I keep the crew together, and we get to have fun with the audiences. It's just a great, great thing to do.
And you're still able, really, to mingle with communities around the country as well through your Manilow Music Project. How is that going? I mean, you have, as budgets are being cut all over the country in school systems, you've been able to provide and help music programs continue through your Manilow Music Project.
Well, you know, when I go on the road, I do an instrument drive in every city, and I donate a piano, and then I ask the audiences to, if they have old instruments that they're not using, to bring them down to the arena, and then, you know, we give them to the schools in that city. But this time, we're going further than that. For anybody who has any school that has a band that need instruments, all they have to do is to do a videotape and tell us why they need instruments. And if they win this contest, we're going to give them $100,000 worth of instruments and band uniforms.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That is amazing. You can get more info on that at manilowmusicproject.org. Barry, we only have about a minute left, but I just got to ask you, with everything that you've done, is there still something professionally that you would like to do that you have not accomplished yet?
The only thing that comes to mind is this Broadway musical that Bruce Sussman and I wrote years ago. It's called Harmony, and it's probably the best thing I've ever been involved with. It's very difficult to get a Broadway musical up if it's not, you know, of something based on a movie or based on a, you know, something very like Mamma Mia. But other than that, if it's serious like Harmony is, it's difficult to get it up. But that's the only thing that I really would love to see.
Okay, when you finally get that going, we'll find a theater for you to premiere it here in Chicago, okay?
You know it. You know it.
You want to get more information? It's ManiloMusicProject.org. Barry's got new shows coming at the Westgate Resort in Las Vegas. Check those out. WestgateResorts.com/Manilow. And Barry, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye,
G. There you go. Little Barry Manilow. Celebrate his final tour. Final time coming to the Chicago area. Final time in Milwaukee. Last night, the Showman of Showmen. So he puts on an amazing show. Somebody else who has put on an amazing show of a different kind is WWE legend John Cena. He has been spectacular in the ring through the years. And I think he's a pretty darn good actor, too. He's got a new movie coming out. I talked to him about it. We'll share that with you coming up next. I'd like that to be the new theme song of this show. Think the Olympics would mind if we borrowed it?
Ah. Just got to put some words to it.
Sunday morning show. Dave's here, Andy's here. It's Sunday morning, Sunday morning, Sunday morning, WGN.
Not bad. Freestyle. I like that.
We'd still get sued.
Big time.
We could hire a choir.
Sunday morning, think of this like a big gospel choir. Sunday morning, WGN.
Dean's here and Dave's here and Andy's here too.
You know, the funny part is that people actually missed this last week.
they missed it.
People wrote in to say that they missed this nonsense. Oh, gosh, we appreciate you. Yeah, I can't even tell you how much we appreciate you out there. Weird, stupid, and you people seem to enjoy it. So,
morning, good morning from WGN.
Far flung forecast. Oh, we can go on and on. Don't get me started.
We walk into the studio carrying torches,
flags.
Yep.
We're carrying flags.
Have a cauldron in there. That's
like to shoot. I saw a video. I don't remember which Olympics it was.
Oh, yeah, it was 92.
Where the guy shot the arrow, the flaming arrow.
Yep, to light the cauldron
into the cauldron. That was 82.
92.
92
in Barcelona.
Barcelona. Wow. That was amazing. Those are very special moments. I was watching some film clips of Greg Louganis, you know, from back in the day that turned into a whole, I mean, what a spectacular diver he was.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to call him like one of the greatest divers of all time?
I would think that'd be okay.
Maybe the greatest of all time. But then he hit his head on the board. He was HIV positive, turned into a whole controversy, the whole deal. And now I see him. I saw him on News Nation this morning.
Oh, really?
You know, we have the monitors on. I don't know if he's, you know, they were just interviewing him. It said Greg Louganis joins News Nation.
Hmm.
So is he in our company now?
Must be.
All right.
Either that or joining him for, you know, some commentary.
Maybe that's what I wondered, if it was just a one-time deal, or if he was like a regular commentator during the Olympics, you know, throughout for the whole thing. I hadn't heard that. His hair is completely white now. Completely white. Snow white.
I didn't recognize him at first until I saw the graphic.
Yeah. All I can say is, well, at least he has hair.
I wasn't going to say anything.
It didn't fall out.
I wasn't going to
over
mention
the years
that.
Like mine did. Who would you say, Andy, are some of the greatest Olympic athletes
of all time?
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, you know, current day, you'd have to say Simone Biles and Katie Ledecky.
Right.
You could talk about Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps. How about Michael Johnson?
Michael Johnson.
One of the great sprinters of all. I interviewed him once for some reason.
Hmm.
How did I interview a guy, you know, an Olympic champion like that? I think he had a book out.
Okay.
And I probably was filling in for somebody. Remember back in the day when I was like, I would just, you know, I would sit on the bench waiting to be called in.
Richards, get in here.
Yeah. But I remember interviewing him. He was a very interesting guy. His book is very interesting also. But who else?
You know, gymnastics. I mean, you go, not even an American, but, you know, Nadia Comaneci.
Nadia Comaneci.
Dorothy Hamill.
Wow.
Peggy Fleming from the Winter Olympics. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, you, just go back and look at the Wheaties boxes.
Yeah.
They'll tell you who the best of the best were.
Bart Connor was an Olympic athlete, right? Mm-hmm. Also, because Bart and Nadia, they got married.
They did.
They're still married. But they co-hosted the Jerry Lewis Labor Day Telethon with us on WGN for decades.
I remember that.
Got to know them very, very well. And I, you know, every Labor Day, I lived in fear that I was going to say something wrong and Nadia was going to snap me in half like a twig. She was an imposing figure.
Mary Lou Retton?
Mary Lou Retton. Yeah. Wow. Those are some amazing names.
Yeah. She was in the news recently here with this very serious illness.
Yeah. But she's okay, though, I think, right?
Yeah, she has come around. I think I saw her during the current Olympics. You know, just as a guest, as interviewee.
Well, certainly one of the names that needs to be added to the list of one of the greatest of all times is Jesse Owens.
Absolutely.
James Jesse Owens. He was a track and field star. And won particular international fame at the Summer Olympics in Berlin, Germany. It was August 3rd, 1936, that he won the first of four gold medals. And then the next day he would win several more. But he won four gold medals in that Olympics, the 100-meter, 200-meter, the long jump, and the 4x100-meter relay. I believe it was the long jump, which was the one which was on this day in 1936. And it was significant that he so dominated back then. And it was significant that he dispelled, he did all of this right in front of Adolf Hitler. Can you imagine that? Hitler's sitting up in the box while you're doing this, and the amount of concentration that you have, with Hitler sitting up there and all of his rhetoric of Aryan supremacy that, you know, he had put out there. And Jesse Owens just came along and crushed it all. So, you know, for his athleticism and for symbolically what Jesse Owens represented, I don't know how you can't, just pay tribute to that. This is a little clip that the History Channel had put together on the significance of Jesse Owens and the 1936 Berlin Olympics.
As they were approaching this,
you can hear and see a lot more on the History Channel's YouTube page. They have extensive story about Jesse Owens, the Berlin Olympics, and what he represented, and really just putting it right in Hitler's face by dominating those Olympic Games. I love the way, Andy, the announcers back then talked as well.
They were very proper and prim.
Jesse Owens is taking the field right now,
trying to match the action that we're seeing.
Let's do the rest of the show like that.
I think we should.
See how long that lasts. Let's give it a try. Part of my absence last week is that I was in Los Angeles doing some interviews. Actor James McAvoy has a really spooky new movie that's coming out. I'll tell you more about that in a week or so. But I also interviewed the cast and director of kind of a funny romp that's called Jackpot. It stars actress Awkwafina, who I think is a really great comedic actress, and also soon-to-be former WWE legend John Cena, who has also appeared in a number of motion pictures. I think he's turned out to be a really, really great actor, and I know he's certainly a great guy. I've interviewed him so many times now, and each time is a delight. He is so pleasant to be around, polite, and entertaining. This movie is about a law, you know, fictitious law, obviously, that if somebody wins the lottery, somebody has within 24 hours to murder the person who has won the money, and then they can claim the money. So this movie is about Awkwafina hitting the jackpot. John Cena is her bodyguard in the movie. So I talked with all of them, but for John, I had just come off of an interview with Awkwafina in which she was just, you know, praising John and what a great guy he is and how generous he is and so forth. So I got, when I sat down with John, got his reaction to
it. Well, I think the admiration's mutual, and I hope it comes from a place of authenticity. I'm not questioning her words, but what I mean by authenticity is, you know, sometimes comedy is tough to play because you never know a person's limit. Nora is fantastic because nothing's off limits. She just wants to make everything funny. So she's inclusive and accepting, which is creates a wonderful environment. And on top of that, when the jokes stop, there is a lot of waiting sometimes on movie sets. And one of my fondest memories, people are like, oh, tell me about a great day of shooting. We had a day where we were just in the car driving for hours. And it was like we took an eight-hour road trip where when they say action, we tell jokes. And then when they say cut, we talk about life. And it's amazing what you can learn about someone if you allow yourself to listen. And she was trusting in me and being a bit vulnerable, and I was trusting in her with telling her about my journey. And I think that's where that authentic admiration and respect comes from. I think she's a wonderful woman. She's a fantastic human being. She's a gifted performer. And, man, I hope we get to do it again. I hope this isn't our last project.
Yeah, well, she said one of the things that you impressed upon her the most was how you have to exercise your mind just the way that you would exercise any other muscle in your body, and how important that is. And can you talk about that a little bit? Because I mean, people think I think especially from wrestlers that it's all about the physicality of it all and not using your head.
Well, I think in life, if you develop any sort of skill or want to take care of anything, if you don't use it, it will digress. So I think the easiest thing for us to be able to show that we use is our bodies, so people can look at someone and be like, they're in shape, they're not in shape, they must work out, they must not work out. But your cognitive awareness is something I feel you need to work on and practice, and that goes along with, I mean, spirit, mind, and body. I try to stay focused and stay present and stay as curious as I can, and I guess I just have some lanes that I want to continue to grow, and I'm not ready to regress just yet.
Yeah. All of that, especially poignant in you announcing your retirement from WWE. I mean, that's a pretty big decision in a guy's life.
It is, but one that I'm happy about, and happy because at least I have the health and cognitive awareness and skill to be able to say to the audience, hey, in 6 months, we're going to start this experience, and it's going to be a year long, and get together with your grandparents, your parents, your kids, bring everybody together and say, you know what, I saw this guy once 20 years ago, or I saw him 10 years ago, or, hey, I saw this guy 10 years ago, and you haven't even seen him. Check this out. It's going to be fun for one last time, where usually retirements come all of a sudden due to maybe injury or unforeseen circumstances, or they're part of our storytelling, which takes the audience and their trust for granted. I've built a wonderful relationship with our audience over two decades, and I just want to say thank you to them next year.
Yeah, they're chasing me out of here. I could always talk to you all day long. Always enjoyable, and I hope we get a chance to see you in person sometime soon.
I know. Thanks. I'll see you soon. So thank you so much.
Take care.
There
thanks for everything.
Is, John Cena. Co-star of the movie Jackpot with Awkwafina, directed by the great Paul Feig, and that movie will be opening next Friday. We'll be featuring interviews with Awkwafina, with Paul Feig, more with John Cena this coming week on WGN TV Morning News. So Look forward to that. Coming up, we've got our Food Time show coming up. We'll talk some summer recipes coming up after 12 o'clock this morning. Wanted to just remind you that we've got our first Dean's Night Out scheduled at the Paramount Theater in Aurora for the 2024-25 season that's coming up. And that is the musical The Full Monty. This is such a fun production that was a motion picture, became a stage play, and you'll get to see the story of a bunch of laid-off steel workers who come up with this brilliant plan to, you know, survive during their layoff, and that is by taking it all off. It is actually an empowering tale, in addition to it being fun and a little bit on the body side. The Full Monty begins August 21st. We're going to go see it on September the 1st. And I would love for you to join me for that performance. If you go to WGNradio.com/contest, you can enter to win a pair of tickets for the September 1st performance. We have a little nice meet and greet before the show. Love for you to be there as well. It's WGNradio.com/contest to see The Full Monty at the Paramount in Aurora. Andy, I was just looking at some of the pictures of the induction of Steve McMichael into the NFL Hall of Fame with his all of his buddies around him. A who's who of football legends around him.
Yeah, and it was cool to watch. I mean, because we were talking about it a little bit earlier too. The amount of respect that his former teammates have for him, and they wanted to be there. And there's several guys, of course, that are in the Hall of Fame, Richard Dent and Mike Singletary and Jimbo Covert, who were kind of instrumental in putting that whole thing together to be there with him, and to have the Hall of Fame ship the jacket and his bust,
the bust, yeah,
to Homer Glenn. I mean, rather than unveiling it in Canton, they were unveiling it in his living room,
man. Yeah, so he could see it.
Yeah, and you could kind of tell that he was moved, and that everybody else was moved around him too. And it's really good to see that there was a lot of support for the McMichael family and Steve in particular from his former mates, and I'm sure that some of the current players too. Devin Hester was involved in one of the fundraisers that Dan Hampton and I think played in his band in Canton on Friday night in an ALS fundraiser.
Yeah, that's it was really, really nice to see the all these legends showing up for their buddy, you know, who they all fought together, and now coming to his support. Jared Payton from WGN TV inducted Mongo.
How cool is that?
Into the whole thing, which was, I think, by Mongo's request.
It was,
right?
Yeah.
Because of his affection for Jarrett's dad, Walter Payton.
Mm-hmm. So Jared is one of the very few that has had the opportunity to not only induct one player, but two. He was the speaker for his father, Walter, back in the early 90s. And now with Steve McMichael as well. And yeah, I think that Steve kind of was one of those guardian angel kind of guys that watched over the Payton family after Walter passed away in 99. And there's been an uncle-nephew, kind of a relationship between the two.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Jared in the sports office over the TV when he found out that he was going to do it. And he was, you know, Jared smiles all the time. But Jared's smile was even bigger than it was normally when he found out that he was going to be able to do that.
Yeah, it was very cool. Very, very, very cool. I'm glad that it all got done. And is a reminder that football season is sneaking up on us.
How
here.
About that? Yeah, we're going to have a season preview. And when I say we, the guys, Hamp and OB and myself, will have a season preview. I believe it's going to be at 4 o'clock on Sunday, the 1st of September. It is the weekend before the NFL season gets underway. The Bears will take on the rest of the field coming up on the 8th of September. That's the first game of the year against the Tennessee Titans.
More importantly, when do I start my preemption season?
You start your preemption season on September the 8th. You will have a short show on September the 8th. So plan accordingly.
Till 11 o'clock?
You'll be on till 11 o'clock, I believe, yes.
Aww.
I was thinking more like 9:10.
Well, stop thinking that way because it's not happening.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean, that I get preempted at 9:10 in the morning?
Yes. We can play the Ed Sullivan plate spinning music like we've done in the past.
Oh, the speed shows.
Yeah.
I love the speed shows. Those are awesome. Oh, man.
I can't wait to see OB. I miss OB so much.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I miss Hamp, too. If I don't say that, he'll crush my head like a raisin.
It's funny because we were able to get together in the early portions of April, late portions of April with the NFL draft. We had that draft special right afterwards. And I hear from OB every once in a while, just kind of out of the blue, and Hamp as well. We have a little text chain going, so it's a lot of fun.
Sean, what the hell are you talking about?
It's going to be a fun year. It's going to be a fun year.
I was waiting
for
something like that.
Shawnee, what would OB say about that?
What he would say about that? He would say, I've had enough of it. It's got to stop right now. We've got no time to lose. This team's got to get going right now, or we're going to be an embarrassment to the National Football League.
That is my single favorite thing about the football season.
OB 2.0. Oh,
I love it. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. It's a beautiful day. Nice one out there. It'll be hot. Stay hydrated. Don't you love when radio and TV people tell you stuff like that? It's hot outside. Don't forget to stay cool. Always seems funny to me. We're going to get into our food time segment in a few minutes. We're going to talk about some summertime treats. Also, I wanted to get to the some texts that have come in. Andy, we've got we had quite a few when we were talking about the greatest of all time with Olympics.
Oh yeah. We left out a bunch.
Obviously, you know, people start texting in all kinds of suggestions, and I'm just scrolling through here. Our text line, when somebody new texts in, it, you know, scrolls. So sometimes it's difficult to find these things, and sometimes it's impossible to find these things. What the heck? Where it happened to him here? We had quite a few of them. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, I can't find one of them.
After that whole build up, now you can't find any.
Yeah, well, there were like 10 of them right here. Are you deleting stuff on the text line?
Am I?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't even have access.
This is crazy.
I don't either.
Wait a minute, this was just here. Because also there were...
Am I deleting stuff?
There was... Wait a minute. Yeah, I can't find... Oh, here. Well, I found... I can't find it. I don't know where it is. You're going to have to take my word for it. But people brought up Bruce Jenner.
Definitely. 1976.
People brought up... So what other ones can I remember now? People brought up... yeah, that's the only one that I can remember. Wow. That was a buildup for nothing.
That's all right.
That was a big buildup for nothing. We've got some nice compliments here this morning. We appreciate that. From 773, Dean, thank you for bringing laughter and smiles to my day. You, Dave, and Andy are a blessing to me.
Aw.
Wow.
Isn't that nice? Sweet.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much.
That's very nice. When I think of the three of us, blessing is probably
not necessarily coming to mind right away.
Right. I love this one from the 847 area code. I'm sitting in the Costco parking lot listening to you guys laughing.
Did they stay with us or at us?
Well, they didn't say it. Okay. It said you three are hilarious. So Anyone who would sit in a Costco parking lot in hot weather, listening to the show, you got to love that. Some people commenting on the Jesse Owens piece that we did, remembering that Ralph Metcalf finished second to Jesse Owens in 1936 at the Berlin Olympics and became a congressman representing the South Side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And speaking of the South Side of Chicago, that is also the final resting place for Jesse Owens.
Is that right?
Yes. He is buried at the Oakwood Cemetery. He had extended family here in Chicago. Huh. And when he died, that is when where he is buried.
I did not know that.
Yeah. When we were talking about Jesse Owens, I thought there is some sort of a connection to Chicago here. And after some research, I found out that, he's buried here in Chicago.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Did not know that. But what do I know? I can't even operate the text. I can't even scroll through text. So. 847 area code. Watch the documentary Race, the story of Jesse Owens. Highly recommend it.
I think I've seen part of that.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah, me either.
But, I definitely want to check that out. Some nice texts here today. Hardly anybody hating us today.
Well, that's good.
No. But the show's not over yet.
We still have 41 minutes.
We can try a little harder. We're going to get into our food time segment today and talk about some summertime recipes. That is coming up in just a moment. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. And I thought we'd get into our little food time segment. I haven't cooked on TV for a couple of weeks because I have I was off. I was out of town. I was doing interviews in California. Just for a variety of reasons, we haven't done our cooking segment for a while. But this is the time of year when we do, summer recipes, when we focus on summer recipes. And one of the most popular or one of the most frequently asked questions, I guess, is the best way to put it, that I get for summertime grilling is about grilled pizza. How do you do it? What do you put on it? Do any of you do pizzas on the grill? I think it's one of the best things to do. Outside, whether it's a charcoal grill, a propane grill, smoker, the smoke pellet grills that have become so popular now. Pizzas on the grill they're easy, they're super delicious. If you've got a recipe, if you've got some recommendations or questions about doing it, be happy to try to answer your questions if I can at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Now, when I've done this on TV, I've mostly used those bobbly pizza crusts, the pre-made pizza crusts, because, on TV, it's so quick. It's just easier to handle on TV, which, also could apply to you doing it at home. You want to do something simple. You want something that's easy, that's pretty tasty. Those pizza crusts are perfectly fine. They're not the same as like a traditional Neapolitan crust. The flavor nuances might not be the same. If I were doing it at home, I would probably do a thinner kind of crust because that's what it's my own personal preference. Is a much thinner crust, but these bobbly things, just for toasting up a crust, putting some toppings on it, those work just fine. So, I would definitely recommend those. I've got tons of recipes for different grilled pizzas on the grill on my TV cooking website, which is WGNTV.com/DeanCooks, WGNTV.com/DeanCooks, and that'll take you to all the videos, to all the recipes, all the things that we've done through the years, and included there are so many pizza recipes that we've done on my TV cooking segment. Among the most popular, the margarita pizza. Without a doubt, you know, one of the favorites. So what you do is, let's say that you're going to, I mean, if you want to make your own pizza dough, make your own pizza dough. If you want to buy the dough itself, most grocery stores have that in their dairy cases now. And you can get a big ball of pizza dough, spread it out, flatten it out on a board, floured board. And then put it on the put it on the grill and brown it on one side. Flip it over, not on the grill, but flip it over on that board again, because now you've got the top half of that crust already baked, and that's where you're going to put your toppings. That's where you're going to put some grated mozzarella cheese, very thinly sliced. Or, you know, if you can grate it, even better. Don't buy the pre-grated cheeses. Those are loaded with all kinds of chemicals to prevent them from caking up so they don't melt as well. You're better off to buy, a whole piece of mozzarella and shred it yourself. It'll melt much more beautifully. So put down a layer of a sauce. You can buy, you know, you can get a pizza sauce. You can get one of those jars of pasta sauce that they, you know, sell in the grocery store. I get a four cheese pasta sauce. It's really very tasty. Put a thin layer of that down on the crust, on the baked side of the crust. Then I put the mozzarella. Then I will either slice a tomato very thinly, heirloom tomatoes, great. Beefsteak tomatoes are great. Cherry tomatoes are great. Cherry tomatoes are extremely flavorful. Slice those up nice and thin, sprinkle that around the pizza, put a little more mozzarella on top of that, put a little Parmesan then on top of that, put it back on the grill. Probably no more than 7 minutes. Now, you're going to do this on the grill in the indirect method. You don't want direct flames underneath your pizza. So you can do it without a pizza stone. Just do it indirect method. Or you can use the pizza stone, which evenly distributes the heat on the pizza crust. But then now you've got the uncooked side down toward the flames. And it finishes up, it melts all your toppings, and it's, you know, couldn't be any more delicious. One of the other, without a doubt, one of the, maybe my most popular recipe that I have is my barbecue chicken and caramelized onion pizza on the grill. It is so fantastic. It's so delicious. Same kind of procedure with the crust. Bake one side. When that's done, take it out and put the uncooked side goes down, and you're going to put the toppings on the baked side, which would be a very thin layer of your favorite barbecue sauce, would be a little sprinkling of the shredded mozzarella cheese. You're going to take some leftover chicken. You can get, you know, one of those pre-cooked chickens from the grocery store. Take the meat off the bones, chop it up really good, mix it in with some barbecue sauce, and sprinkle that all over the crust as well. In the meantime, what you would have done ahead of all of that is take a couple of onions, 2-3 onions, and just saute them in a pan until they turn a brownish color that brings out all the sugar in the onions and caramelizes them. They're so delicious. Not to burn them, but just to brown them, and take some of that caramelized onion and sprinkle that all over the pizza. If you want to, you can get some corn on the cob, cut it off of the cob, or you can even, you know, use the frozen and sprinkle that all over the pizza now that's got the roasted, barbecued, roasted chicken, the caramelized onion, the mozzarella, and now a little bit of roasted corn. Put a little more of a mozzarella on there and put it back on the grill again. Uncooked side down, either indirect method or with the pizza stone. And just leave it in there for 4, 5, 6 minutes, something like that, until the bottom side browns up and all the toppings melt. And I guarantee you it will be one of the most popular pizzas, one of the most popular recipes that you will make for anybody. It is always a smashing, smashing hit. From our text line, we love cooking pizzas on the grill. We prefer to use pita bread as our crust. That's a fantastic idea. It's a little more, giving on the grill. It's a little thicker, very, very tasty, but that's a great idea. And then everybody gets, like a personalized size pizza. 312-981-7200 if you've got some questions or suggestions about pizzas on the grill. The 847 area code here said, large flour tortillas make great cracker crust pizzas on the grill. You just need to cut the toppings small because everything cooks so fast. Yeah, I've done flour tortillas on the grill, and you really have to be ready. You really have to be fast because literally those things will cook up in less than a minute. And if you leave them on much longer than that, they're going to burn up on the grill. So you have to have your toppings sparse. You have to be ready for it all. I would put just a little bit of the pizza sauce on the flour tortilla. I would put, I think I would put the flour tortilla on the grill first, maybe for 30 seconds, just to very slightly brown it. Take it off, flip it upside, don't flip it upside down, but on the cooked side is where you're going to put the sauce and whatever toppings. Very sparse toppings. Don't go too heavy because the tortilla is very thin. And you can't leave it on the grill for very long or you're going to burn the whole thing up. So put the toppings back on. The uncooked side of the tortilla then goes on the bottom on the grill. And, cook it up until everything melts. But great suggestion, but you have to be super fast with the large flour tortillas. But it does give you a really great, crackery, thin crust pizza. You do have to like that. Let's get to the phone lines here. And Carrie on our phone at 3. Oh, we're going to the news first, and then we're going to go to the phone lines at 312-981-7200. All right, let's do that. Food Time is Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. Has been for over 20 years. Maybe 30. How long have we been doing the Food Time show? Mid-90s. Pretty long time. I'm so glad you enjoy it. So many people tell me we make them hungry every week as we share recipes and talk food. 312-981-7200. And Carrie, now I'm ready for you. You're a pizza maker on the grill?
Pizza on the grill, but I've got a go-to that's really great in the summer. So it's a barbecue chicken pizza.
Mm.
And you can use whatever kind of crust you want. The Baba Lee's, I agree with you, they're kind of thick, but they do make a thin one, but it's not going to be your cracker crust. So whatever kind of pizza crust you want.
Yeah, thin is not super thin, but it's better than regular. But they sell pre-made even thinner ones. But
sure.
I think the Baba Lee thin works fine.
It's fine. But the little known secret is if you got to go to a pizza joint in your neighborhood, they'll sell you dough.
Yeah.
Go and say you want a ball of dough to make a large pizza. They'll sell it to you for a couple bucks.
Yeah, and most grocery stores sell a ball of pizza dough.
Oh, yeah, the frozen stuff's good, too.
But
yeah,
sure. But a pizza place a little tastier, probably.
Yeah, probably, but it all works. But anyway, so whatever kind of crust you use, the sauce is just whatever your favorite barbecue sauce is. And that's the, instead of marinara, that's the sauce.
Yep.
And then the topping would be take a chicken breast, thinly sliced, with some red onion and some sweet red peppers, nice. Thinly sliced.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And then I like, obviously, a little salt and pepper. And then I like a little spicy, so whatever your favorite hot pepper flake blend is, just a little bit or as much as you want.
A little crushed red pepper. Saute
that until it's done.
Yep.
Yep, then put it on top, and then whatever kind of cheese you like. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one thing. If you like cilantro, and some people don't.
Yep.
If you like cilantro, I like a lot of cilantro on this.
Okay, all right.
If you like it, some people don't. And then whatever kind of cheese you want. I usually don't use mozzarella. I usually like a Colby Jack. Throw it on the grill until it's all nice brown on top, and, man, it's really, really good.
Yeah, well, the recipe that I get so many requests for, and it's pretty delicious. I just use the mozzarella. I put a little Parmesan on there. But at home, yeah. I've experimented with Fontana cheese.
That's a good melting cheese. Yep, yep.
It's a really,
a good melter,
really good melting cheese. I put pepper jack on there just for fun. And you know what else I've put on there, which has become a favorite? I know it's probably not for everyone, but I'll put some hot jardiniere on there as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
me too.
Baby, is that is
some Marconi. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that is good.
but it's good. Don't get Schwani going here. It's good. but the beauty of a grilled pizza is you can really, it's so quick and you don't want to heat up your house. You can really throw whatever you want, whatever kind of crust you want, and cook whatever kind of combos you want. You can even make a party out of it with the kids or anything. You know, yeah. It's like, here's a bowl of toppings. What do you want? You know, it's really, yeah. It's a great thing in the summer.
Yeah, fun for the kids. I started doing this as an appetizer. You know, like I was having people over and we were going to put burgers or whatever on the grill for the dinner. I would do a couple of pizzas on the grill just for appetizers and cut them up. And it's a great appetizer, but it became so popular that it became the entree then. The pizzas became the entree. And there's some very original and creative ideas out there, as you can hear from Carrie's very outstanding recipe there.
You can make a Greek one, too. I mean, I made it with feta and spinach. And
I've done the same.
Too.
Yeah, I've done the same with I've done the feta, spinach. I've even taken some gyros meat and chopped it up.
Oh, yeah.
And put it.
I've never done that. But, that's really
then,
good.
Then at the end, after I, kind of bake all of that stuff together, we'll take some of the tzatziki sauce, the yogurt with cucumber and mint and dill. Lots of garlic in it. I'll sprinkle a little bit of that on there as well for a Greek style pizza. There's some really good. I think that recipe may be on our TV website for the Greek style pizza.
Yeah, look that one up. Well, thanks, Dean. Now I'm really, really hungry.
Everybody, go make some pizzas today. Carrie, thanks, pal. Nice to hear from you. I appreciate the call. Thank you. 312-981-7200. Let me see what we've got on the old text line here. 708 area code. Dean, I love your show. Thank you for that. That's very nice of you to say. Do you have any videos of you preparing pizzas on the grill? Yes, I think we definitely do. It's on our TV website. That's where we put all the videos of all my cooking segments. That's where we put all the recipes. That's where anything related to Dean Cooks, we put it on the TV website, which is WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. Pretty easy to find. I'll bet if you even Googled it, if you just Googled Dean Cooks, I'll bet it would take you to that site. But it's WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. Let me see here. I was 708. I was shopping at my local grocery store and saw my favorite celebrity. Would it be wrong to run up to Dean Richards and ask for, ask for a selfie. No, people do it all the time. If you see me out and about and I don't look too sloppy, sometimes when I'm at the grocery store, I'm not at my prettiest. You know, I may have not shaven for a couple of days. Yeah, please feel free to say hello. That's very sweet of you. Very, very nice. 815 area code. Dean, flat pita makes an awesome pizza crust. Also, try it with brick cheese. Got to say, I've never tried it with brick cheese. But the pita bread, flat pita bread, that sounds like a really good idea. I know people also use English muffins on the grill for little tiny little mini pizzas. You know, so it would be something fun for the kids. 224 area code. Dean, I do pizzas with homemade pizza crust on the Blackstone Grill, and they are fantastic. Now, are you all into the Blackstone Grill at all? That's one of the most popular things in outdoor cooking right now. It's a flat-top griddle. That's what it is. Blackstone happens to be one brand. Weber has their own version of a flat-top grill. It's called the Slate. And that would be a great, you know, great way to do it, I guess. I've never done pizzas on the flat top. I've only recently started cooking with a flat top. I guess, yeah, if you put the pizza crust on the flat top, brown it on one side, turn the brown side up on top, put your toppings on it, and then put it back on the flat top to brown it and to melt whatever it is that you've put on it. I guess that would work really great, and probably less of a chance of burning up the crust as well, because that indirect method, you do have to be quick with the pizza crusts, even with the pizza stone, which is basically the same concept as a flat top griddle. The stone conducts the heat a little bit differently than a flat top grill, but it's basically the same, you know, kind of theory. I guess that would work you know, pretty well as well. 815 area code. Aldi refrigerated ball of pizza dough is fantastic. We used to make homemade pizza all the time, but now Aldi is our new go-to. All right. Well, I assume it's probably in the dairy case. That's good to know. I've seen it in the Jewels. I've seen it at Mariano's. I've seen it at Trader Joe's. Most grocery stores have pizza dough, but I'll bet it's probably a little cheaper at the Aldi's. 630 area code. The Jewels sells fresh pre-made pizza dough at a very reasonable price, it says here. Ready to spread and top. Another tip, don't be afraid to buy a pizza stone. Put it on a gas grill cold, then warm up the grill 15 to 30 minutes. Start slow. Try medium heat to see how your grill temperature turns out. 400 to 500 is about perfect. You don't have to go up to 700 to 900 like the expensive outdoor pizza ovens. I 100% agree with that. Way better than an indoor grill. Love, a lifelong tombstone lover. Just cooked one on the grill Friday night out of laziness. You know what? The frozen pizzas on the grill can be very, very tasty, depending on which brand you buy. But it does all the work. All you do is put it on the grill, you know, toss it in the oven. Whatever you do, I totally agree with very much of that. I got myself a pizza stone, I don't know, 5 years ago, something like that. And I use it when I do pizzas outside. It makes a world of difference because it distributes the heat on the grill, on the stone, rather. And you don't have to be as careful as if you were doing it on just plain indirect method on the grill itself. So a pizza stone's not a terrible idea, plus, especially if you're doing it from pizza dough. You spread it out, pizza dough, it's a lot easier to handle on the stone than it is on the grill. And I could not agree with you more that 400 to 500 degrees is just fine on the grill. Doesn't have to be like those expensive outdoor pizza ovens. I'm shocked at how much those things cost. And I don't think that if you're doing it at home, I don't think you get that much benefit. And often burn your pizzas up 700 to 900 degrees. So, yeah, some interesting thoughts here. Let me see here. Here's one that says, Dean, I use pesto sauce instead of tomato sauce on my pizzas that I put on the grill. I put the pesto sauce down first and then the cheese, and there is no soggy crust, and it's a wonderful taste. I've done pesto pizzas on the grill as well. I agree with you. They're really, really tasty. 651 area code, not familiar with that one. Is there a flat-top griddle for a Weber charcoal grill? For the old-fashioned kettle grill. Well, I know that Weber, well, first of all, Weber sells, now they sell what they call the slate, which is a grill, which is just a flat top. That's all there is to it. But they also have an insert that you can put on your gas Weber grill. That's a cast iron covering. So they do have that, but I don't know if they make one for the Weber kettle or not, for the flat top griddle for a charcoal grill, which I presume is you're talking about the old fashioned Weber or the traditional styled Weber charcoal kettle. Not sure about that. I'll check into that. Some really, really, really good questions here. Here's and comments. 847 area code. One of our fall favorites in my house is a pre-made pizza dough onto which we put caramel sauce and then sliced apples and crushed peanuts. We melt that on the grill and then top it with vanilla ice cream. Holy smokes, does that sound great. That is fantastic especially for autumn, for a fall favorite. But what a great dessert that would be, right? A pizza dough, caramel, sliced apples with crushed peanuts and some vanilla ice cream. That is a fantastic idea. Thank you. 312-981-7200. We'll get to more in just a minute. Steve Dale coming up after the 1 o'clock news. Talking pizza, outdoor summertime food, pizzas on the grill. Some fantastic ideas from you on our text line here today. And phone line, love to hear from you either place. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. Here's the 219 area code that says, Dean, how about Polish pizza? No joke, pizza sauce, sauerkraut, and Polish sausage topped with mozzarella cheese. Doesn't that sound amazing? So, you know, you bake up your crust. You know, that's going to be the same way no matter what your toppings. But for the toppings, you put down just a traditional pizza sauce. And as I say, I actually like to use, you know, if I'm in a hurry, the jarred pasta sauce. I get the four cheese pasta sauce. I don't remember what brand, but I just want a mixture of, you know, the cheese and the sauce. But here you're putting on a sprinkling of sauerkraut. I would imagine you have to drain that sauerkraut pretty well. Give it a good squeeze with your hands to, you know, get some of the there's a lot of water in it generally. Some sliced up Polish sausage. And top it with mozzarella? That's a fantastic idea. Wow, if they're not selling that at some of the summer fests, that's such a good idea. I love it. 312-981-7200. Let me see here. What else do we have here? The 773 area code says our family uses garlic naan bread on the grill. Have you seen naan bread on the grill? It's derivation of a Middle Eastern or Eastern Indian bread. It's basically a thinner, almost like pita bread. But I would think that something like that with garlic and, you know, derivations of other pizza recipes would be a fantastic idea. Here's another one that says, Dean, I haven't done it, but I imagine that naan bread would also work as pizza crust for your grill, from Carol in the 708 area code. Yeah, it's... I think that's a really good idea. The pita naan alternatives to pizza crust that we're getting in here today, I think, are some pretty darn good ideas. Puff pastry, even frozen puff pastry, I think is great for pizza. It says it works even better than pizza dough for many of the recipes. I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, to each his own, and, you know, whatever anybody likes. But puff pastry as pizza seems like it would be a little delicate, you know, because when it puffs up, it's in layers. And maybe if you did, you know, like small little individual pieces, but to cook a large piece of puff pastry and put pizza toppings on it, seems like it would fall apart while you're trying to eat it. I don't know. I mean, that one, I'm going to have to think about that one for a little while. What else do we have here? We've got, here's somebody saying, really enjoying the pizza show. I missed the part of the recipe of the pizza that you're talking about. For the barbecue chicken. I'm telling you what, this barbecue chicken pizza is the best pizza that you're ever going to have. And the recipe is, we have it posted on the TV website, on my cooking site, which is wgntv.com/DeanCooks. That's where you're going to find all my cooking stuff. But the grilled pizza recipes are all there. And we've done the barbecue chicken recipe several times because it's so popular. But it's basically, you know, a basic pizza crust of your choice, a thin layer of barbecue sauce, chopped up chicken from like a roasted chicken, mixed with barbecue sauce. Take the chicken and mix it with barbecue sauce. Caramelize some onions, sprinkle those on top. I put some roasted corn on the cob on there, you know, cut it off the cob and put it on there, and some mozzarella cheese. Guarantee that's the best pizza that you're going to ever have. That's the end of the show.